Chof Dad Elo, 15th of September, Rabbi Alan Kimchi, Parsha theme.
Stir it for you.
Beis HaMedrash, Shalom Moshe, and particularly this program of Torah Way, which is Marbitz Torah to so many people, daily basis, and a special opportunity for the last Shabbos of the year, Bereishis Hashanah, and Achris Hashanah, and Achris Hashanah, the last Shabbos of the year, the Bezos Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should listen to our tefillahs, and Chazal say, Tichle Shana Vakilele Seha, Gemara in Megillah, Techel Shana Vabirche Seha, that all the difficulties and hardships of the previous year should be behind us, and the new year should, Bez Hashem, should be a year of brachas and gulas v'yishus.
Amen.
A few interesting points I've chosen to share with you this morning. Maybe I'll start with something which is a little bit of a Hasidic Shavuot, even though from a literature background, a certain Hasidic Shavuot which captured my imagination, which I like very much. And it's an interesting observation from the opening theme of Nitzavim. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of his life, brings Klal Yisrael into another bris. What exactly is the nature, Atem Nitzavim Hayom, the Ovrecho Bivris? What is the nature of this bris over and above the bris that Moshe Rabbeinu already had with him, B'chayrev, of Matan Torah? So, shown him say, Chazal, that this was a new bris of Arvus, of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bozeh. Rashi brings it down, Rabbeinu B'chayrev, the Ramban. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bozeh. This was a chiddush. Until now, everybody had personal liability and personal responsibility for Torah and mitzvahs. From now on, Klal Yisrael were united with this principle of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bozeh, which is in itself a topic for an interesting share, but not for the moment. What is interesting is that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm gathering you all together, that this bris is going to obligate also those who are here and also those who are not here today. Who is he referring to? Says Rashi, Hadoiras who are Sidim Liya. So this bris obligates all future Doiras of Klal Yisrael, all future generations. So here's another question, which another subject for a whole shiur, which I'm not going to talk about this morning. I think I'm going to give a talk this morning about all the things I'm not going to talk about. So one of the things I'm not going to talk about is, those of you who've learned Maseches Nedarim and Shavuos will know that if a person makes a Nedar or Shavua, so it's Machayiv him. But can you make a Nedar which is Machayiv your children? What is the dynamics in Halacha? What's the lomdus of making a bris, which is basically a Nedar or Shavua, to be machayev of your children? How can you do something like that? How does that work? Because if the child hasn't himself made the neder, the shvuah, in what sense, what is the source of his liability to be machayev it? And yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, so clearly, this bris is machayev of all future deiros. How does that work? There's a long kliyoka here, a long Abar Banel, the Sefer Akedah, lots of the Mefarshim get into this particular theme, what the lomdus of it is. It's because of this, incidentally, that Chazal say in Medrash Tanchuma, and particularly among the Mekubalim, that all the neshamas of all future generations were present at this bris. Why do they say that? Why do Chazal say that all the later neshamas were present already at this bris? Atem Mitzvayim Kulchem. Why do they say that? To answer this problem. They're trying to deal with this problem. They want to understand how can we, later Doiros, be Mechuyuv for something that happened earlier for our ancestors? The answer is, because we were there in some sense, Baruch Nias, we were already there, but that's the reason why Chazal say this. This is in itself a very interesting topic. The Sforner, for example, has a different Mahalech, more of a Lomdisha Mahalech, where he says it's true, a parent can't make a Neder or Shavuah to obligate a later generation, but he can give a Matana, he can give his Yerusha al Tanai, he can attach a Tanai to a Yerusha. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually giving Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu saying, you've got a Yerusha, Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, the Yerusha of Achris Hayamim, of the Geula, but it's all al tanai. It's only all on condition, and this bris is the condition. Okay, this is it. What's interesting is that Moshe Rabbeinu particularly says that everybody's included, from the highest most influential people in the nation to the lowest. And what Loshen does he use? The Pasuk there says, Atim Azor Yavkochem, Roshechem, Shifteichem, Ziknechem, Beshotreichem, all the Nasiim, all the Talmid Chachamim, the leaders. Those are the people who are at the highest level. And then even including the people of the most manual labors, the most insignificant, in a sense, from a status point of view, Mechote Beitzecha, Achoiv Memeh. Right, the choppers of the wood, even including the choppers of the wood and the drawers of the water. And it's a bit strange, this particular reference, choppers of wood. What's it got to do with the bris, choppers of wood and drawers of water? And particularly the word ad doesn't make sense. If he would say, Ziknechem Shotreichem, Ad Shov Memech, I don't understand, from the highest to the lowest. But what does it mean, Michote Veitzecho, Ad Shov Memech, from the choppers of the woods to the drawers of the water? They're the same category. They belong to you. What is the Ad doing there? So I saw this beautiful Hasidic Avot from Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, which I felt was beautiful and which fits in so well into the amkus of what's going on here with this bris, that he says, who was the Chote Beitzecha? The Chote Beitzecha was Avraham Avinu, Vayivaka Atzei Eila. We're going to read it on Rosh Hashanah, Bez Hashem. Vayivaka Atzei Eila, that Avraham Avinu is the person who's referred to, that he was chopping the wood for Akedas Yitzchak. And who is the Shoyev Meimecha? Is Elio Anovi on Har HaKarmel. He's the person who's drawing the water and pouring it over the Mizbeach before he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Before he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aneini Hashem Aneini, exactly what we say in Slichas, Aneini Hashem Aneini, Misha Ono Elio Hanovi Bahara Karma, Hu Ya'aneinu. What was he doing, Elio Hanovi, in Sefer Melachim? He was bringing down the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Karbonos, but he first poured water on it. Says the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, that this is the meaning of the Pasuk. That this bris is Mechotei Beitzecha from Avraham Avinu until Bias Goel, until Elio Hanavi, from the beginning of Jewish history until the end of Jewish history. And that fits in beautifully, I think, with the whole idea of Eis HaShem Yeshno Poi, Eis HaShem Enenu Poi. That this bris was Mechayev Kol HaDeiros. Mechotei Beitzecha, beautiful. Mechotei Beitzecha, Ad Shoyev Memecha. I think this is an absolutely masterpiece, Dvar Torah.
Why should Eliyahu
be considered
end of days?
Okay, that's a
Hinmei.
Yeah, Shaleach Lachem is Eliyahu Hanavi. Lifnei b'yom Hashem, Agadol v'aneira. Eliyahu Hanavi symbolizes Achris Hayom. That's a separate. It's a good question, but he is the forerunner of the immersion. Okay. There's another very interesting diuk here in Parshas and Nitzavim, which I want to share with you for a minute. The Pasuk is speaking about the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu gives them that Klal Yisrael will indeed do Averus and will be sent into Golos, and even when they're in Golos, right, Nitzavim chapter 30 is one of the most beautiful, is the most beautiful chapter of Tshuva of Klal Yisrael, Shavto Ad Hashem Lekecha, Shemata Bekeila, that Klal Yisrael will, as the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, that there's a Havtocha, that Torah gives us a Havtocha, Sha'asidim Yisrael Asos Tshuva, that there will be a worldwide Tshuva, right, that will proceed, the Gula. When the Pasuk speaks about Klal Yisrael being sent into Golos, there are two very interesting different words that are used. And I'd like to take you through a Malbim on two very interesting words that brings out a very profound issue in this topic. Thank you, Benjamin. And free of charge, I'm going to teach you a new English word that you don't know. A big English word. It's always nice to have one big English word that you haven't heard before, and show that this is really hidden in the lomdus here of the Malbim, and in, I think, Pshat in the Pasuk. The word in English, supersessionism. Okay, supersessionism, you make a note of it. Supersessionism, you can Google it, you can look it up. What's meant as supersessionism? Okay. So supersessionism is actually an important word for people who are dealing with interfaith discussions. I personally, Baruch Hashem, have always been moichel on that particular kovod of being involved in interfaith debates and discussions. I've always been mechabed other people in that. Someone has to do it, but I didn't particularly want to do it myself. But supersessionism is the thesis, which is in several major religions, which accept in the account of the Bible as the Jewish people being the chosen people. And what is the view of these major religions about the Jews as the chosen people? They say, yes, it's true, God chose the Jewish people. That's in the Bible. They're the chosen people. Only what? They messed it up. Yeah. They messed it up. And therefore, they're no longer the chosen people. And we have got a new testament. We've got a new covenant. And we've taken over as the chosen people. And this, that's, and supersessionism comes to the word to supersede. In other words, this is finished. In other words, this, that there was 1,000 years of the Jewish people, Chas v'Shalom, and then after that, they were superseded by other nations and other beliefs. And this is supersessionism, which is a very, very interesting and powerful subject. What's this going to do with the Tzavim Vayeh? Because in the Pasuk, when it speaks about Kali Yisrael going into Golus, so there are two words that are used. The first word is used by Yashlichem el Eretz Acheres. The Pasuk says, just before Shani, right? By Yashlichem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw them out of Eretz Yisrael and Einesh, and they went into Golos, by Yashlichem el Eretz Acheres, with a big lamed, right? The Balkari will know that the Yashlichem has got a big lamed of the, well, maybe we have time to come back to the lamed. And then there's a few Pesukim later, there's a different pasuk which says that the Klal Yisrael will be living b'chol ha'goyim asher hidichacho Hashem Elokecha Sham. It uses a different word. It doesn't say by yashlichem. It says hidichacho. Right? Hidichacho means to be nidochim, to be pushed aside. Right? Right? And later on, a pasuk says that im yir nidachcho b'kzeh ha'shamayim Hashem b'kabetzcho. Right? The pasuk uses the word nidochim and it uses the word mushlochim, to be hashlichacho Hashem. Says the Malbim, in this nuance of these two words lies this particular very important issue. What's the difference in Lashon HaKodesh? This is the Gainus of the Malbim, his understanding of Lashon HaKodesh, between Vayashlichem and Hidichachon. He says the difference lies in two features. Both of them mean to throw something out. But Vayashlichem means to throw something out in a way, first of all, you don't care where it goes. Even in modern Hebrew, l'hashlich is the verb used to throw out the garbage. You throw out the rubbish, right? So when you throw out the rubbish, the ik is that it's not here. You don't actually care whether it goes in this bin or that bin or this dump or whatever. You just want to get rid of it. And secondly, you never want to see it again. That's what vayashlichei means. Vayashlichei means you're chucking it out and that's it. Endict. You don't want to see it again. Nidochim, hidichacho, means something else completely. First of all, you're not pushing it away to anywhere. Nidochim means you're putting it aside somewhere, and you're putting it away in its different place. It's like when Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, it's nidche. What does nidche mean? It's pushed to another day. It's not pushed to any old day. It's pushed to a particular day, to the next day. Nidche means we pushed aside, but we're careful where we put it, and we put it there for a reason. That's what nidche means, says the Malbim. So why does the pasuk use the word vayashlichem and hidichacho? So he says, if you look at the pasukim, it's very, very meduyuk in the pasukim. He says that vayashlichem, thank you so much. So vayashlichem, Eretz Acheres. So there, that posuk comes immediately after. In other words, the opening line of this pesukim is "Va'omru kol hagoyim al me'os Hashem kachal Eretz Hazos." Va'omru, and they will say Hashem alzus bris Hashem, and they will say Va'yerchol yadim acherim, and they will say Va'yichaaf Hashem boretzahi, and they Va'omru hagoyim. The goyim will say Va'yashlichem al Eretz Acheres. The goyim will say, Chas v'Shalom, the Klal Yisrael have been rejected. Supersessionism. They've been thrown away and never to come back. They've been put aside and we don't want to see them anymore. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says, no, it's not by Yashlichem. You shouldn't think you've been thrown away, never to come back. The Golus, you've been thrown out of Eretz Yisrael for a purpose, but you've been put somewhere special. Wherever you are in Golus, you're there for a reason. Right? And you're going to come back again. So it's not by Hashlichem, it's Hidichacha. In this nuance between Hashlichem and Hidichacha is the whole debate between Klal Yisrael and the Umos HaOlam about supersessionism. Okay, and the rest you can look it up and then go into it. It's a whole literature about this discussion. This is one of the reasons why the Vatican had such massive problems with the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, could never accept the idea of the return of the Jewish people, that Israel should be a Jewish state, because of this yesod in their theology of supersessionism. Because we believe they'll never come back again. What are they doing coming back again? It didn't fit in. It was only in the 60s that a later pope wrote a whole chiddush. He wrote some chiddush Torah, and he introduced this idea that really maybe we can go a bit soft on supersessionism. Really, the Jews indeed were the Am HaNivchar, and they remained the Am HaNivchar even after they went into exile. But I think it's very interesting to see how in one word, in Limudi Kodesh, lies a whole Torah. A whole Torah lies in one word between, if you have a chance to look at the Malbim, well, very well worth doing. Okay. Excuse me. Incidentally, the big Lamed of Vayashlichein, Sir Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, says, again, I'll just do it very briefly, he says, Vayashlichein, the Lamed is the Lamed of to teach. Lilmodu l'lamed. The Lamed always is a symbol of teaching. And he says that Klal Yisrael was sent into Golas to teach the nations, to be a Kiddush Hashem. V'holchu goyim lo'ireich, as Yeshaya says, that the Ur of the Torah, the morality and the family life and all the values of the Torah should permeate, and the monotheism should permeate throughout all the Umos HaOlam. And we were sent, we weren't Vayashlichem, we were Nidach, or we were pushed into other nations in order to in some way implicitly be a guiding light to the Umos HaOlam. That's the Lamed, says Hashem Shem Folish. And I want to have a look at a theme which is probably the most frequently recurring theme in all our tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, and it's something about which we know the least amount. Now, we daven on Rosh Hashanah, even though we know it's the Yom HaDin, we don't actually daven about the Din. We don't daven about the Din, right? We don't daven really about much about our Averus or what we've done or anything like that at all. We daven about Malchus Shammai. That's the theme. But similar Chata Hashem Levadecha, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're waiting for the moment of the Yeda Kol Pol, Ato Pa'alto, Yovin Kol Yotzu, Ato Yotzato. We're waiting for the moment when not only Klal Yisrael, but all the Umos HaOlam, all of mankind, right, will come to its senses. And we'll realize, V'chein Tein Pach Tzach Hashem Elokecha, Kol Ma'asecha, Yerucha Kol Ha'maisim, Shtecha V'chinecha Kol Ha'bruim. We don't often realize that Rosh Hashanah we're actually davening for mankind. To eventually, but why? Because what we're davening for is Malchus Shemayim, and the ultimate gilui of Malchus Shemayim will be Bayomahu Yashem Echad Veshma Echad, when we're not only Klal Yisrael, but all of mankind will come to understand, and that's our concept of Geula, and that's a concept in Yeshayah, and in Zechariah, and in the Nevi'im. The Geula will be not only a Geula of Klal Yisrael, but a Geula of a whole of mankind. And again and again on Rosh Hashanah, we mention this point. And even the Mishnah, when it speaks about the Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah, the first makor we've got. Because in the Chumash, it doesn't say anything about Rosh Hashanah being a Yom HaDin. Cool. Nowhere does it say in the Chumash that the Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. In the Chumash, all it says is Yom Teruah. Doesn't say Yom HaDin. But in the Mishnah, in Teresh HaBal Peh, we know Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boy, Olam, Obrim, Nefonov, Kivin, Emorim. That's the Mishnah. Right, that's our earliest source, Mefurish, to say to us that Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin. And on that Mishnah, all the Gemaras explain the idea of the Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah. But if you pay attention to the Lashon of the Mishnah, it's not only a Yom HaDin for Klal Yisrael. It's Kol Boy, Olam, Obrim, Nefonov. All of mankind. All nations of the world. And talking on the Sanet Tokyo, we say, well, Medinas, Boye Omer, Ezel Acherev, Ezel Aror, we're talking about the Medinas. Medinas means all the nations of the world. What will North Korea do tomorrow? They're this. The answer is, on Rosh Hashanah, this is decided. Right? What will the President of America do next?
Nobody knows.
Right? He doesn't know. Now, what are we going to do next? How's all this going to play out? How's it all going to play out? The answer is, Alamadinas bo yama ezer cherev ezer ra'ov. But what, the point that I'm making is that Rosh Hashanah is... I've got time for a small 30-second anecdote. Many years ago, early years of my marriage, I was here in London, and Rosh Hashanah, for some reason, I won't say exactly why, we went for Rosh Hashanah to Gateshead. My wife and I went for Rosh Hashanah to Gateshead, and in Gateshead, when they do Tashlich, they go down to the park, right, the Gateshead boys?
Saltwell Park.
Yeah, there's a park, there's a sort of pond there, a big lake, and hundreds of people standing there saying Tashlich. Okay. So, to cut the long story short, so I go down, I'd never been there before at this park, so I walked around a little bit just to see it, and I met a non-Jewish man with a moustache and a couple of big dogs. He was walking his dogs in the park, and he said, good morning. I said, good morning. So then he said to me, it's your new year today, isn't it? So I thought, he's going to check it with me exactly what does he want from me. And then he said to me a line, which remained with me the whole of that yontif, I remember, and even since. He said to me, you do know that you have to pray for us as well, don't you? So he said, you do know you have to pray for us as well. Somewhere in his mind, he had learnt, or he'd been told, or he had heard, that on the Jewish New Year, that we need to pray for the destiny of the non-Jewish nations. And he said, and he wasn't joking, he wasn't kidding around. He was saying, don't forget, you have to pray for us as well. And it's interesting that somewhere along the line, there's no question that in the Chazal, Masechas Rosh Hashanah, this is MS. Called Boy Olam, Ovin Mefano, Kivnei Marav. Boy Olam. Boy Olam is mankind. So there's no question that our tefillahs are geared to V'yeda Kol Po'ol Shepkiatop Alt. That we're doubting for a moment that the whole of mankind will come to a munah and come to a gula. Okay. See how much time I've got to really deal with this properly. I'm going to say it to you very, very briefly. One of the very interesting discussions among the Rishonim is regarding what perspective we have on the Geula and the Yemos HaMashiach. And very, very, to overgeneralize enormously, right, there is a Chilukei Deos where the Rambam, in chapter 12 of Hilchos Melachim, the very, very last chapter of the entire Mishnah Torah, says... Al yale al halev. You should never think. And whenever the Rambam says al yale al halev, what he means is lots of people think this and they're wrong, right? So al yale al halev means don't ever think that what shebimosa Mashiach yibotel dovam min hoga shalayim. That somehow nature will change or human nature will change. Oshia shom dot chidush b'maisa bereishis or anything supernatural will happen. Yibotel Mashiach is not a supernatural time. Ela olam kimin hagay nayek, says the Rambam. Everything will continue normally, right? Ela what? That mankind will come to its senses and understand that Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech Malchuso Bekol Moshalo. They'll come to understand that. That is our vision of Yemos HaMashiach. I, says the Rambam, it says, v'goz ha'ev in keves, that the wolf will live peacefully with the lamb. That seems to be something, a change of the teva of animals. Says the Rambam, Hakol Moshel. For the Rambam, this is never a problem. Psukim, when they say things like this, it's a moshel. It's a metaphor. A metaphor, what does it mean? It means the keves is Klal Yisrael, and the Zaev are the anti-Semites of the Rishayim. The God Zaev and keves and the Rishayim won't anymore try to devour Klal Yisrael. There'll be peace in the world. But it doesn't mean the wolves will still eat sheep. Ibi Moshe Mashiach, your regular wolf, will still eat the sheep. It's all a marshal. How's it in Rambam? Okay. And this is a famous shitta, and it's based on a shitta in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ein bei Yemos HaMashiach, right? Ela Shibud Malchus Bilvad. There is a source in Chazam. However, many of the Rishonim, particularly the Ramban, for those of you interested, you can see in this week's parsha on the pasuk Umol Hashem Elokecha Es Lavovcha Ves Lavav Zarecha. The Ramban goes to town on the whole his vision of Yemos HaMashiach. That his vision of Yemos HaMashiach is that Klal Yisrael, that the mankind will return to Odom Horishon Lifnei Hachet, the back into the world before it became spiritually disintegrated, and we'll be back into a Gan Eden type of existence, a different order of existence completely. And there's no question, also incidentally, in terms of building the base of Mikdash, right? According to the Rambam, how will the base of Mikdash be built? It's a mitzvah to build the base. You get architects, you get stone, and you get. We'll have to build the base of Mikdash. It's one of the Tariyad mitzvahs for the Rambam, is Binyan base of Mikdash. According to the Shita of the Ramban and other Rishonim, the base of Mikdash will come, Min HaShemayim will descend, ready made, Min HaShemayim will be miraculous. So here's the question of Yisrael: will Yimos HaMashiach be miraculous, or will it be b'teva? This is a very big question, right? And maybe it's particularly interesting to spare a thought on this question on Rosh Hashanah when we're davening all the time, right? For Yimos HaMashiach and for the Geula, for mankind, will this be miraculous or will it be natural? A very, very important idea is to be found in the writings of the Meshech Chachma, Parsha Shoftim, which I'll give you very briefly, but I think this is a Yesod, which is very, very interesting. So, it starts like this. There's a pasuk, which is the closing pasuk of last week's Haftarah. I don't know if some people... Haftarah is not one of the most popular parts of davening, and by the time it comes to the last pasuk, people have really faded out a little bit. But the last pasuk of Haftarah Parshat Kisavei, which is Yeshaya chapter 60, says, HaKotel Yele Elef, V'Hatzoyel Goy Otzum, Ani Hashem B'Ito Achishem. So what's he saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying that Hatzoyah, the Klal Yisrael, which is Koton and Tzoyah, which is small and seemingly insignificant in the world, will become the dominant nation in the world, and the teachings of Klal Yisrael will be accepted by everybody. Ani Hashem be'ito achishem. So what does it mean? Be'ito means at its appointed time, from the word ace, ayin tof, be'ito, at its moment. And achishem means it'll happen quickly. It can happen any moment. So what does it mean, be'ito achishem? Right. So first of all, pshat. The Radak says pshat, which is the simple pshat in the pasuk, that be'ito achishem means when the moment arrives, it'll all happen quickly. It's austerizes. It's Yeshua Hashem Keref Ayin. A moment of Yeshua Hashem will come, and when that moment comes, it won't be geschlept, it won't be a long process, it'll happen immediately. That's what it means, says the Radak, be'ito achishem. However, there's a famous Gemara, in Sanhedrin Tzadiches, Reb Shur ben Levi says, that this is a stira be'ito achishem. So be'ito means there's some predestined moment when Mashiach will come, and achishem means b'chol yom machake l'sheyovei, that it could happen any second. So what does he say? Says the Reb Shur ben Levi famously, he says, "Ksiv b'ito ksiv achishena, zochu achishena, lo zochu b'ito." So he says there are shnei oifane geula. There are two ways in which the geula could come. If Klal Yisrael and mankind are zochu, if they come to their senses and come to emuna and come to live peaceably with each other, then achishena can happen any moment. Right? If that could happen any moment. In other words, within the Teva Ha'odom and the Tzelem Elokim of mankind, there is a potential to come to a realization of Emunah and to bring the Gula into this world. Lo Yizachu, if they don't come to this realization, then there is a predestined final end to history where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Gula, whether or not Klal Yisrael and mankind deserve it. So that's the Gemara. Says the Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, if I start with a Hasidic Shavuot, I can end with a Litva Shavuot, right? Okay, so that's my spectrum for this morning. The Litva Shavuot, Meir Simcha of Dvinsk, the famous Or HaSameach, who understood the Rambam ad hasef, every word in the Rambam. So he says, the Machlekes in the Rambam and the Ramban is not a Machlekes at all. Whether the Mashiach will be miraculous, or it will be a natural Minhogo Shalaylo. It's not machlekes. It's shnei oifani geula. We don't know yet which of these endings will happen, but they are alternative endings. So he says the Rambam is talking about zochu. Zochu means mankind will go through a normal process where they'll become more and more understanding, and they'll develop their moral sense and their peacefulness and their emunah and their monotheism, and then they will come to an understanding, and that will be minhogo shel olam. That doesn't need to be miraculous. That will be b'teva ha'odom, b'teva ha'ilom. So the Rambam is talking about a world where mankind, v'yeda kol po'ol ka'ato pa'olto, will happen naturally, mibifnim. Right? They will suddenly come to understand that they must live peacefully to each other. Right? And they'll beat their swords into plowshares. Why will they beat their swords into plowshares? Because they'll pick up a sword and they'll think, what could I possibly use this sword? Who would ever have wanted to make a sword to hurt other people? Can't imagine that such a thing could ever happen. Right? Because they'll be living in a different mindset that says, the Rambam, this potentially can happen. And that's, and so he says, Meshech Chachma, that's Zachu Achishena of the Rambam. Lo Zachu, but if mankind, I think you'll probably agree with me as things look in the world, it's a bit unlikely that of their own volition, mankind of the different nations of the world will come to Emunah Shalema, will come to living peacefully with each other, will beat their machine guns into plowshares, and get rid of all violence and live ba'ahava ba'achva with each other in a world of Emunah and Yirah Shamayim, then be'ita. Then it will come at a predestined moment. Then, says the Meshech Chachma, it will happen miraculously. Then the description of the Rambam, right? The description of the Mekubalim, that everything, that nature will be changed, and it will be supernatural, it will be miraculous, and basically it will come down. That is only Lo Zachu. That's only if mankind does not actually realize its own potential. And that is, I think, an interesting machshava to have when we davening Bez Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, when we davening V'chein Tein Pachtcha Hashem Elokein HaKol Ma'asecha V'moscha HaKol Ma'asheh Barosah V'yerucha Kol HaMaisim V'shtecha V'chnecha Kol HaBruyim. The authors of these tefillahs wanted to get this message through to us, that we're davening for a Gula Shleima, for the whole of mankind. How is this going to happen? There are two possible routes. Either it's Zochu Achishena, either it's the Rambam's route, that it will happen naturally and normally, or Lo Zochu Be'ita, in the event that it doesn't happen naturally and normally, Bez Hashem, it will happen Be'ita, at the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it to happen, and Bez Hashem, HaShana HaBa'alein L'Teiba, the new year that comes, should be another link, Bez Hashem, in the Geula of Klal Yisrael, and we should hear our tefillahs and all our bakashas, and the Bez Hashem, it should be a year only of Geulas, Yeshuas, and Nechamas. Amen. 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 Thank you.